Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Ike MMA podcast. I'm joined in studio with professional mixed martial arts fighter Haider Khan. But no, I'm glad I pronounced that correctly. Look,
Yeah,
again,
Haider Khan. Everybody says it wrong. Everybody has their own little variation on it, but
no,
doesn't really bother me too
good, I
much.
got it right. How are you feeling, especially after your performance not too long ago?
Yeah, I was quite happy, obviously, when it happened. Obviously, it was a tough fight. So, looking back, obviously, there's a lot of places to improve, but now I've kind of come down from that the excitement, and it's just steadied on now back to training. Hopefully, getting prepared for the next one.
How did the well? I'm talking about the win, but how just what was the because I from what I saw, it was a serious war that you, as in, you really did put on a good performance for the fight fans for the fight fans to watch. And after that, I always say, fine, fighters always said to me that they don't want to just go in there and get a knockout or take down or TKO, but they want to go in there, showcase their skills and talent so that fight fans will remember them as well as getting the win. So, I mean, just how was it? Were you, before the fight, did you look at your opponent's past fights just to analyze their own skills and weaknesses so you'd know just how to take them down? Just how about going about getting the win?
Yeah, to be honest, I did watch quite a bit of him. I knew quite a few people that knew him, and he knew quite a few people that knew me. Obviously, we're both from the north of England, so people have come across each other. To be honest, when I trained, when I was in there with him, he had improved in the areas that I thought were his weaknesses, and he made it more difficult for me. That's why it probably did turn out the way it did the fight, and I had to change up the game plan and go for a different route rather than the anticipated one. But obviously, he told me that he brought in various guys to train for the fight, and he's training at various places as well. And I have to appreciate that he was looking at me and respecting what I brought to the table as well.
I'm sure he must have looked at your not just your past fights and the fact that he knows people who must have he knew you and sparred with you, but I'm sure he must have taken you very seriously, especially based on your fight record.
Yeah, obviously, I think since I've started the game, I've always tried to be active and fight tough opponents, even throw amateur. That's what I've always tried to do. My coaches have always believed in me in that aspect of the game. They've always let me take risky fights, probably fights that other people wouldn't take. And I think that's why they let me take this fight as well in the upper weight class against probably a guy that was bigger than me, a bigger puncher than me, probably. And we got to go out there and put on that entertainment for the fans because I was giving up a bit of size. And but that's what this sport is about. At the end of the day, you want to go up there and test yourself and fight tough guys.
Excuse me. Now, the win itself, when your hand was raised in the cage, though, how did it feel after the absolute war?
Well, I was ecstatic. There's like a photo of it when I'm like screaming and having my hand up in the air and just shouting, and
Yes.
everybody was like, "Oh, you seem to have loved that fight." And I think at the time it was one of those things where I actually was in the fight. The damage that it looks like I took in the fight was a lot, seems a lot worse than it actually was. I was back to training on Monday. I was pretty much fine from the fight. But obviously it just looked worse than what it was. Like, at no point, like, I know I got dropped at an instant, but I didn't get the buzz or anything, like, where I was felt rocked or anything. So, touch wood, it was all good for the health wise after that fight. So, I did love the fight as well. Like, I love being in that kind of fight, but obviously you don't want to be in too many this early in your career.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. And look, do you have any idea of maybe when your next fight is going to be, as in which promotion it's going to be, and who your next opponent potentially could be?
I've got no opponent, but I have a good relationship with the FCC. They keep in contact with me, and Molly over there, the matchmaker, said she'll have a few names for me for June 8th, hopefully for the title again in Liverpool. So that should be a good one. Hopefully, put on another little entertaining one on for the fans and the support in the arena that night.
I look forward to seeing it, definitely. I really do look forward to seeing that. Look, it's the first time speaking to you. Can you give just a bit of a brief history on your background and how you got into combat sports and then beyond that, mixed martial arts?
Yeah, so I wasn't somebody that started off in martial arts. I wasn't somebody that did it as a young kid. Like, there's a lot of these prospects these days. We got a few in our gym who were like insane. I started off at like 19, 18. I played rugby competitively from the ages 6 to, I think, 18, 19. I was playing in the academy set up there. So that was my main focus. But my family all loved mixed martial arts in terms of like watching it. They all used to watch Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre, my uncles. And I kind of got into it through that. My cousins, I got a few of them all watching it. So I used to love GSP. GSP is my all-time favorite fighter. Like I still watch his highlights today, just little videos of him. And obviously GSP was big on the jiu-jitsu, used to come out in the gi, stuff like that. And there was a local gym just down the road from here where I live. Just that straight train straight jiu-jitsu. So when I was 18, 19, I got into that. And then I just started to train from there and then transitioned into martial arts. And then after like 6 months to I had my first amateur fight. And then it progressed from there. And then after a year, I went on to the England team, got a silver in the Europeans, and then just kept it going from there and then eventually turned professional. And as an amateur, I met my coaches that I'm with now as a pro as well.
Going into the sports itself, and it's been a while since I posed this question, but it's an extreme sport compared to the other sports you have, but like basketball, football, rugby, and so on. There wasn't any concerns from family and close friends about health concerns or serious injuries that you could sustain at all whilst competing. Sorry, I know it sounds a bit sad.
No, 100% got what you're saying. My mom still doesn't watch me fight, to be honest. She hates it. She comes, she loves me and supports me. Like she says, obviously, I know it's something that you love and she supports me, but she's mortified the fact that I actually do it. Like I'll come home and she'll be crying. Like, and I'm like, sorry, mom, put you through that. My dad comes to the fights, but yeah, like I said, he finds it hard to actually watch. I guess when you do martial arts, you kind of get used to it. Like you say, every dog has a day. One day I probably might end up sparked out. I might end up choked out. That's just the game we're playing. You play with fire, you're gonna get burnt. It's kind of like that. And obviously, when I look at it from that perspective, it's hard to put your family through it at times. But obviously, I'm on this journey that I love, and they are supporting me along this journey as well.
Well, I hope you never that you never get seriously injured in this sport ever,
Yeah,
ever.
I
I
hope
hope
that
that,
as well. Yeah.
yeah, I hope you have a nice clean run from now up until you finally hang up your gloves for good. The gym that you fight out of, God, I even wrote this, Aspire Combat Sports Academy. It's quite a big name on the mixed martial arts scene, especially here in the UK. Can you talk a bit about that? I mean, the sort of coaches and other teammates that you do have there, because I can see that if you have the sort of fight record that you have and you fight the way you do, compete and perform the way you do, clearly that's one of the gyms here in the UK that, they're producing very good fighters and they must have very good instructors and coaches there.
Yeah, so the owner of the gym is Phil Turner. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt. He runs the jiu-jitsu classes in the gym and the MMA. He's the head MMA coach as well. He's very meticulous in the way he trains. He watches a lot of fights, but he's also a risk taker. He lets us take challenging fights as well. He wants us to be tested. But he's one of those coaches, as soon as we're slacking, he's honest. He's telling us. He's pushing us every week. He doesn't want anybody. There's no days off. Like, there's no days where you turn around and you can just be like, I'm going to take it easy today. He's in charge. And that's what we follow. And then we've got Dean Garnett, who's quite well known in the UK and seen as a professional fighter fighting now in the PFL, who's probably brings this level of like calmness in terms of like he doesn't overcomplicate his training too much for us. Where he wants us to do the basics 100% of the time, well, 100% of the time. He's not somebody that is trying to make us extravagant, but everything that we do, he wants us to do well and prepare well. And then, like you said, we're an upcoming team. We're probably not that many pros at the moment. Obviously, we have Tom Mullen, me, Liam McCracken, probably all at the same stage of our career. We could progress, obviously, to the UFC eventually. With a couple of more wins, we're probably there as boys, And then we've got the upcoming amateurs like Tom Harvey, who just won that on that day, the FCC title. He's looking sharp, good on the ground, good on the feet. And that's what we're doing. Like, we've got people fighting at the high level at the amateur. So they're ready for the progression to pro. And then we've got beginner pros. And then we've got some of the top prospects coming from like the junior side in like Shea Willow and Regan, training in our gym as well. So it's a great atmosphere where we've got people at all levels pushing to go to the next level.
For this fight that you recently had at FCC 37, how should I phrase this? For the fight camp, your nutrition, as in, just making weights and preparing for the fight in general, were you still fasting in that time in the run up to the event?
No, luckily Ramadan was the day after the fight,
All right.
so I managed to sneak one in just before Ramadan, which I'm blessed that God blessed me with that day. But obviously, I do train throughout the period when it's Ramadan. And like, I've still been training 2-3 times a day. Like, it's just something that I love to do, and it's something that I've done since I was a kid, so it's pretty much all right.
How do you do that, and how do you balance the fasting with the training? Because mixed martial arts fighters and combat sports athletes, the level of training there is really, really extreme. The pad work, the sparring, ground game, everything else. I mean, how do you balance the nutrition side of things with the energy levels? Because you, since you're fasting, you haven't got much in the tank, one would assume, to got to use to perform master training.
Well, I have a great nutritionist in Manchester. Company name is B Aligned Nutrition. He's called Clark Granmire, so I work with him all year round. And we've been working together since I started my pro career, so a few years ago now. So we've had a few Ramadans where so he's kind of got used to the system, and he just gives me like slow releasing carbs in the morning, so like a good bowl of porridge with a bit of extras on it, and then when it comes time to break the fast, fast releasing carbs, and that's pretty much it. But with the training, I like to keep it the same. No sparring though, no headshots. I don't really see the point of taking damage when I'm not well fueled like that. So I still do my live grappling, my live wrestling. I'll do a bit of boxing sparring, but no MMA sparring really, because the intensity that I have to bring to that, I just probably wouldn't be able to keep up whilst fasting.
Okay, no, that does make sense, because you do have to make some adjustments, just at least so you don't cause any internal injuries. So your fight record, looking at it looks really impressive. Looking back, what's the toughest opponent you say that you've had to compete against? Because a lot of your opponents, they also themselves, they have really good records, and but still you always come out the successor in the competition. I mean, when you analyze the history of the components you've come across, you've had to face in the octagon, which has been your toughest opponent yet by far?
I think from each fight, I've kind of learned something different. So, from my debut, I fought Igor Kaskaskis, who was a very well-known amateur at the time. I think he was 18-2 as an amateur. Fought people like Fabian Edwards. I think that was the only person Fabian didn't stop at the amateur level.
I see.
And that fight, my coach, even I remember when he told me about it, was he said he was getting a lot of messages saying, "Why are you letting him take this fight so early in his career?" And he went, "Just watch, he'll prove you're right. Like, he'll show it." And I got the win there, but it didn't come out without any rough patches. He hit me with a good shot early on, and I had to find my way through the fight and settle in. And that's when I finally knew, like, oh, I'm ready. I'm built for this pro game.
That fight was like a test that you had to take to see if you're prepared for the bigger stage, for the more professional fights.
And I felt like that was the fight where I truly like started to believe in myself
Yes.
that I will be something in this sport, and I will do something, because this is a man, like I said, he stepped in there with Fabian Edwards and many good fighters throughout the years, and I was battle tested, and he tested me that night, and I came through it.
Going forward in future, do you, well, it almost feels like I'm asking something which the answer will be obvious, but Do you have plans to fight in the bigger shows, bigger promotions, and do you want to, as in, if you wanted to, which, as in, which of the ne which brand is it you'd like to fight under? I mean, I know there's the UFC, which is the obvious one that everybody wants to, which is number one for everyone, but is there any other brands that you do have your eye on as well?
There's always been a few. I would have gone to the PFL and tried to do the tournament if they did my weight class, but I don't think they'd do middleweight at the tournament, so it's a bit weird. So I don't get why they don't do that. Because there'd be people like me willing to do it, and I'm pretty sure there'd be plenty of other middleweights willing to put it on the line for $100,000, $1 million, whatever. And then one championship, something that's always been interesting. Obviously, in my heritage, being Pakistani, I could fit into that company as well. But like you said, the UFC is the goal. The main objective has always been to be a UFC fighter. Like I said, the fighter that I fell in love with watching was Georges St-Pierre, and he was the double champion in the UFC. And that's something that I would like to replicate. I want to be the first Pakistani to be signed to the UFC. I want to make history that way as well. So hopefully that's a few fights away, but that's the objective.
Look, it's been as you said, you're fasting, so I don't want to keep you too long, but it's been really been insightful, intriguing speaking with you. But last but not least, are there any shout outs you'd like to give?
Yeah, like I said, I'd like to thank out my coaching team at Aspire for helping me throughout all these years since I was a teenager to now. To the pro level, my coach, Mitch Finley, who's does my S&C. Like I said, Clark Grantmire would be Align Nutrition. And I'm probably missing somebody, my sponsor, Jim Bobs, as well. They've all helped me throughout this career. Like I said, I've said this before in the interviews, it's truly a team effort. It's an individual when I step into that cage, but the team's the one that's got me to that point.
Once again, thank you for coming on this show. Guys, if you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to click the subscribe button. It really helps the helps my podcast grow if you do that. Also, you can catch the audio versions of the episode on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. So I keep getting tongue twisted from time to time. Hey, Dad, thank you so much for coming on the show, and definitely be having you on very soon. Thank you, I'm sure.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.